けども、ね、
I taught art and art history from the cavemen on. The human being identified themselves with their physical body. Interestingly, the earliest forms of art in the so-called Paleolithic period, when men lived in caves, no society, no family, practically no language, they had just discovered fire. He made the images of what sustained them, the animals which they killed and they ate. No human figures. It is only after when they started domesticating animals and accumulating wealth. I have 10 goats and you have 3. When they started fighting between the haves and have-nots, the one who had 2 goats attacked the one who had 5 goats to get his 5 goats. Then they started making human figures, but not realistically, because the animal figures were very realistic, while the human figures were like a children's drawing of stick figures, mostly acting, hunting, fighting, etc. So it became narrative. They are telling us what they do. The true consciousness of one's humanness came to be during the time of ancient Greeks. And you can see in Metropolitan, in Louvre, those really exquisite and anatomically perfectly correct sculptures of human figures, which they made them not as human but as gods. So God appears in human form. The so-called Western civilization absolutely up to our times, you can see it in art, in architecture, and in behavior, is very much in the Western world influenced with the ancient Greco-Roman civilization. Today, most human being identify himself as this body. When you say I am, now you are thinking about your body. How many kilos you weigh, how many feet or centimeter or meter you are tall, whether you are thin or fat, you are handsome or ugly, we identify ourselves with our physical being. But that physical being is in continuous change. I wasn't like this 20, 30 years ago, and you are not going to be like this in 20 or 30 years. And 60, 70, 80, 90, that me I call is going to be food for the maggots. Now again, it was the Greeks who thought that there was something else than the body in the human being. They called it logos, logic, intellect. They were close. They don't talk about the soul. They thought that which was eternal that which was divine was the intellect. And as intellect is invisible, and God is invisible, to make the image of that which was divine, they chose the human figure as the vessel of intellect, which is invisible. So they were not stupid. In fact, the Greek figures, male or female, a Venus or an Apollon, is really not a copy, as the art historians first thought, of the most beautiful woman or the most athletic man. Rather, it is a mathematical formula of the proportion of the parts to each other and to the whole. In fact, they use that in their building, in their architecture too. But whichever way you look at it, this association or likeness of the divine with the physical human being is still valid, mostly in the Western culture, and now it is infused to the East also. While in Islam, the physical being was never much given attention to, what is being given attention to is what the physical creature thinks, which is invisible, feels, which is invisible, says, which is the expression of what he feels and he thinks, which is abstract, whether it is in sound or in written form, the only material thing related to the material body which had any value or any consideration in Eastern civilizations, especially in Islam, is what it does. Fi'il, action. But today we go to the gym a lot. I see old people jogging around a lot. The facelifters and the body makers are making a lot of money, we are still very much stuck with our bodies. And most of our arrogance comes from our physical appearance. Less people are proud of what they paint or write or say or do, rather they are proud of how they appear physically. So I think there is a really, truly an indication, especially when you become older, like Allah has permitted me to be, it's very strange, because here is something which is really mushy, yeah, and which soon is going to sort of decay, to be really too much concerned with it. Rather than what did this mushy stuff did during the time allotted to it on the face of this planet. I am sure Einstein was not proud as much as any of the muscle men or yoga doer is proud of themselves. One of the names of Allah Ta'ala is Ya Mutakabbir, the proud one, and he does not like to share this name with little beetles like us. Especially when the source of the pride is this mush, which is going to decay and feed the maggots any moment. As far as achievements are concerned, the builder of Empire State Building, how could he feel proud? When he did what he did with concrete and steel and glass and tools and machinery. Could he have done it without any of this? Could you, as a doctor, cure someone without any tools and materials which are given to you? Don't be proud. We all want to go high. The higher you go, the worst is the drop. Below, and the one who created you will like you and make you grow. Salaam alaikum. When I say, if you want to continue the conversation, ask questions, my people, they know it all, so they don't ask questions. But I see some new faces, maybe they may have some questions, because after all, why are they here otherwise? And if they do, we will continue talking, and maybe my people who know it all will learn some more things.
Assalamu alaikum, Baba.
Yes.
It says that our destiny is already written. My question is, how do we define a person's wish that in this world he will have heaven, in this world he will have heaven in the year after, or he may not have heaven in this world, he may have heaven the year after, versus Auzubillah, a person who's gonna have Jahannam in this world and he's gonna have Jahannam in the year after, or a person who's gonna have heaven in this world and he's going to have Jahannam, still going to have Jahannam in the year after.
Her şey kaderimizde yazılıysa nasıl oluyor biz kaderimizde yazılı olmasına rağmen bir insanın bu dünyada ve ahirette cenneti istemesi veya bulması veya bu dünyada cehennemi yaşaması, öbür tarafta cehennemi bulması, bu isteklerin kaderimizde yazılı olmasıyla bir ilişkisi var mı?
I think it's an excellent question. There is an ayet in the Quran whereby Allahu Teala says, those who will abide with him and do what he asks us to do, and those who are going to revolt against him and not do what he asks us to do are already decided in the mother's belly. Now, astaghfirullah, Like many things in the Quran, things could be misunderstood. For instance, this ayet, Hazreti Abdul Kadir Geylani Kuddusi Serrah al-Fettahi, one of the greatest saints in Islam and in Sufism, says that the mother's belly is not the womb of the mother, so where we come from before we were born, we were there, but is the world in which we live. So in the world we assume that quality of obeying or disobeying Allah Ta'ala through the influences and through our failures or our successes. Hazreti Ali Keremallahu Veşehu was walking and there was a wall which is about to collapse, and he quickly passed, you know, under that wall, fearing that it will fall on his head. And there was a cynic and said, "Ya Ali, don't you believe in Qadar? Don't you believe in destiny?" "Oh yes, I do," said he. "I am taking refuge in destiny from destiny." It is indeed true that there are some people who have an evil streak by birth. I mean, we see it in the newspapers, we see it in the news, you know, mass murderers and, you know, or but if those people would have tried, in spite of their handicap, not to go along their nature, wouldn't you say that Allah is going to be more pleased with them than somebody who is born as an angel and without any effort, you know, he is angelic, while the other one is born as a devil and he is trying his best not to be a devil, but he's still a little bit of a devil, huh? So it's like this. Do you have any English friends, Mustafa?
Not friends, I mean people I've acquaintances, no close friends who are English that I can think of.
No. Well, after all, I mean you do live in England.
But you know when I,
maybe not friends, but I mean you do rub shoulders with them and you go to the tea house and you go to the butcher and baker and...
The funny thing is, at our office, there's not, in my group, there's not a single English person, actually. They're all foreigners. So I don't meet any English people there other than, you know, peripherally. and then with the baby and you know all of that, really, basically, have my brother lives there, so we see him. We have 3-4 friends from before who we see, who are from various places, but none of them happen to be English. So yeah, we do rub shoulders with English people, but.
So you are telling that you are living in England while you are not living in England, like we are living in America, we are not living in America. Okay. I got it. Okay. So in that we can live anywhere. Neyden hazır mı?
Yes. Yes, Baba.
It's ready?
Yes.
Well, there is time till I finish my cigarette, so I will answer questions till I finish my cigarette. Yes.
Can I ask a question about the topic of pride? You know, I feel that you know pride it kind of attacks you, right? You're walking, somebody says something nice, and suddenly you feel pride for an instant. You say astaghfirullah, and you try and banish the thought, and it seems like a constant struggle. And so, and I'm reminded of the story of Ibrahim ibn Adham, where I think you know he was told to come back when he had truly forgotten that he was a king. You know, or the lesson he was supposed to learn was to forget that he was ever a king, rather than to say, "Look, I used to be a king, and now I'm this." Does one ever get to the point where one is free from pride, or is it just a constant vigilance against pride?
In the old days, they used to call the Sufis the children of the moment. What is important is who you are at this moment, not what you were 10 years ago, nor even 10 seconds away before, nor what you imagine you are going to be in 10 years from now or in 10 seconds from now. In fact, one of the best tools to feel incapable, incompetent, unable to do anything and be nothing is precisely you don't know what is going to happen in 1 minute. Did you get the answer? And that happens to be a reality, because you are not what you were, even physically you are not. I mean, every moment your cells are dying and new cells are being born, you know? You are not what you were yesterday, and who knows what's going to happen next moment. So that is about your capacity. That what yesterday was is a memory. And what tomorrow is going to be is imagination. So the reality is right now. It's so small. Nothing. But one doesn't think that. Oh, I know what's going to be tomorrow. We make plans for tomorrow. We plan for next summer. We make plans for next year. We make plans for our children's college, you know. I mean, how stupid. And we know perfectly well that, none of it is going to be really you know, as we imagine to be, and we don't know. And we have nothing to do about it. And how can you feel you are such a great guy? Perhaps Dr. Sadek could confirm, because after all, he's a brain doctor. I mean, it seems that there is a place in your brain which you store your memories or something of the sort. But I think that they also know that it really is not precise at all. Is it? Huh? Memory.
Yes, Baba, you know.
Is it precise? I mean,
there are,
technically.
Yes, Baba, you know.
No, I know best, I know. But I'm not a brain doctor. I mean, it's a mysterious thing, yeah. The brain. But I think there are measures and this and that. Yeah.
There's a lot of types of memories, short-term memory, long-term memory, and then there are different types of representative memory and, you know, pictorial, and so they're all stored in certain areas. But it's in various, and then there are connections, and, you know, so that it's complicated. It's not as precise as you would like it.
So, I mean, is it, for instance, yesterday, I hit my foot on a rock, and I said, ouch. Now, it is registered there. But is the exact, I mean, the pain which I felt, is it exact or is it not exact? Is it I hit a stone, no, and it ached? Which is, you know, more abstract. I mean,
it is abstract because there's a lot of integration of several events that, and you're based on your past and your own current state. So
your own interpretation of the I mean, the fact is not rigid. Couldn't possibly be. You know, because I mean, we don't feel the exact incident, you know, of experience, you know, with all sorts of, you know, past experiences, you know, aspirations and, you know, regrets, you know, all these things, they get in and they water it down. You know? So there is no such thing as reality, you know, which we think we are living in. It is our reality, which is subjective. We become terribly insulted when our wives or husbands or somebody or friends come and tell us something about us, and we're shocked. How can you think that way about me? But it is said that even the stupidest idiot, sees you better than you see yourself. And his experience of you, or what happens to you, or what you are doing, is much more exact than, you feel yourself. It's very disturbing, it doesn't have to be that way. Sigaram bitti. Müzik işinası ne oldu, gitti mi? What happened to the musician, the friend of Nur Ali? He's gone or...